COC episode number 5, Quasar versus Red Hulk.
Welcome to the COC podcast, where we put the attack in comicattack.net. I'm the Canadian Cape Killer, Ian Johnson, and with us, as always, is Jeff Jackson.
Hey there!
We were supposed to be joined by Infinite Speech tonight, but we're pretty sure that the recent head injuries that might have caused him to wander off someplace, wandering the earth like Kane Kung Fu.
That happens a lot to him.
Sometimes. With us this week are our competitors, Eli Anthony.
Hey, guys.
Eli joins us from his phone.
Via satellite,
beautiful. And Tom.
Hey, guys.
And Eli, Tom, and Jeff, all three of you guys are in Georgia right now?
Yeah, we are, but not together.
Yeah.
So I'm the odd man out.
Yes, yeah. You're up there in Narnia or wherever it is.
We're from the website comicattack.net, where we have lots of opinions about comics, comic news, and ask the definitive question, who would beat who in a fight? Tonight's fight between Quasar and the Red Hulk. Here's how COC works. Each week we'll be joined by two of our managers who have each submitted a Marvel character to fight. Each manager will give their rationales as to why their guy can win, hoping to convince Jeff, myself, and the listeners out there. You can listen to episode 1 to hear who was all drafted in this competition. In order to win, the competitor has to receive the best 2 out of 3 votes between my pick, Jeff's pick, and the winner of the comicattack.net poll. We'll announce the winner at the beginning of each episode. You can find all the rules for playing the game on a link in the post for this episode.
Here's how you're going to vote, folks. You're going to listen to the podcast, which you're doing right now, and then you're going to come back to the post for this very episode, and you're going to share your opinion, your comments. Right below, we've gotten lots of comments. In fact, I was looking at just in comparison with the other comicattack.net columns, and COC is way up there in the comments section. So that's exciting. But you want to share your opinion, make some comments, because you can definitely sway the public opinion and get your character a win there. So vote in the poll on the post, and you have until Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to vote, and that's when we record the show. Votes at the time of recording will be the only ones that will count, so if you haven't voted already, then too bad. Email us at jeff@comicattack.net or leave us a voicemail at 706-761-0115 with your questions or comments, and you may make it on the show. You probably will make it on the show whenever someone actually calls. Because we have yet to get a voicemail, but that's okay. So listen to the next episode, though, to see who wins the fight, tonight's fight. And in just a second, we're going to talk about last week's fight and say who wins that. And one small disclaimer, this is all subjective. It's all in good fun. So if your favorite character doesn't win, just laugh it off. Keep listening. Don't throw things at us. And lastly, if you are a comic book artist, even if you're an amateur comic book artist, send us a pic. If you have a pic, a photo of, or a sketch, or any kind of image of an upcoming one of the characters, and you want to send it to us, please do, and we'll feature it on our on the site. So, yeah, all right.
I think I'm going to call in for that voicemail. I'm just going to change my voice.
Oh, okay. You can do that.
I'll pretend like I'm a caller. I'll pretend like I'm Dan.
There you go. I think you should do that.
So at this point in the show, what we do is we're going to talk about some of the most notable fights in comics this week. They can be from any comics, any brand you'd like. Mine'll most definitely always be coming from Marvel, only because it's the best company out there. So we were going to have Speech go first. A little bit of pause of silence there. So Speech is in here. So Tom, did you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. I picked kind of an oddball pick this week. I chose Stuff of Legend, Volume 3, Number 1, called The Jester's Tale. It's interesting story. The fight itself is it's just really cool how the Jester himself is, when he's portrayed fighting, he's got like two tomahawks, really Last of the Mohicans look, which is kind of an odd thing for essentially a Jester toy. And there's this whole scene where it's actually a dark version of him fighting off a pirate ship. But the main reason I chose the comic, and besides being just a really well done story, is that our own Andy Ligle got a pull quote on the back cover.
Interesting.
So for a Comic Attack, so I wanted to represent there.
Nice. What did he have to say about it?
I don't know. I emailed him. He didn't respond.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So what is that book about?
It's a story set in I think it's 1942 in Brooklyn, and it's a little bit like a dark toy story. You get where the boogeyman's come out of the closet and kidnap the boy that all these toys belong to, and so they venture into the dark to rescue him. And so you've got a teddy bear, a piggy bank, a Jester, a ballerina. See, as a ballerina and a female Indian, and as well as some other characters come in, and they basically animated toys. They're going and fighting essentially lost toys and other animals, along with also his pet dog is also along for the ride. And it's just this whole odyssey. It's in the third storyline of it, but it's all still the quest to find the boy and rescue him from the boogeyman. So it's awesome art, and it's a little bit on the bloody side too at times. But all in all, it's just kind of an offbeat tale. It's very different from anything else out there.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, sounds great. Good. Eli, you ready to share your fight?
Sure, sure. Well, mine was Spider Island, Deadly Hands of Kung Fu, number one. Number one of three, I believe. And this one, of course, the whole Spider Island thing. Tons of people in New York City have spider powers, including Shang-Chi. And the story begins with him, and the actual fight, makes up quite a few pages. It's basically Shang-Chi makes his way down from his hotel room or wherever he's staying from a weird dream, and he finds himself down there fighting right alongside Iron Fist against these people with spider powers who are just rioting and running amok and causing trouble. And they're fighting back to back and in that great Kung Fu style where in captions underneath each of their moves, it names what move they're doing. And they're just nailing these guys left and right. And there's some nice camaraderie there. And then the Bride of Nine Spiders shows up.
Ooh, and that chick.
That weird, funky chick. She points to a rooftop. She doesn't say a word. She just points to a rooftop for Iron Fist to follow her. So he heads up there. And Shang-Chi, he thinks that something's a little funky. So he follows up there after. He thinks, all right, Danny trusts this woman, so that's cool, but I'm going to keep my distance and watch out for my friend. And so the Bride of Nine Spiders, she tricks Danny. She attacks him, catches him unaware, and her spiders that she spews out of her body, a disgusting thing, they wrap him up in silk. And then Shang-Chi jumps down, and he's like, you know, you're not going to do this to my friend. You better look out. And he's just messing her up. I mean, he owns her. It is Kung Fu gold. And then, of course, when he has her beaten, she unleashes spiders and basically takes him down. But there's just Kung Fu action between Shang-Chi and Iron Fist getting on the Spider Island guys. And then there's Shang-Chi going after the Bride of Nine Spiders. And not only was the fight great, and it's great to see these characters, these Kung Fu and these Iron Fist characters, but the art fit the style fantastically. I don't have the book in front of me, but the coloring was fantastic. It was Dan Brown, and then the pencils were Sebastian somebody. I can't remember his last name, but it was fantastic. It was one of the most beautiful sequences. That it took over half the book.
Wow. So,
that's my thought. Yeah, it was great.
I'm really liking Spider Island. I'm liking it in the main book too. It's just good. I really like it.
Yeah, it turned out better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's been good.
That book. Sorry, Jeff.
No, go ahead.
That book sounds great, Eli. I know you and me both share our common love for all the Immortal Weapons and Bride of Nine Spiders and all those. Like, I know you're one of those few people that loves them as much as I do. Want to see them more in comics. I'm going to go pick that up. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and what's more, you really do, because the weird dream when Shang-Chi wakes, after he wakes up and he gets down to the ground level in the melee there and gets back-to-back with Iron Fist, he starts telling Iron Fist about his dream, and Danny starts finishing his sentences. They both had this funky dream about Fat Cobra. Kind of ominous, real weird. And so, you know, the way it looks is that there's going to be a Fat Cobra appearance later on in the series. So, yeah, awesome. Definitely pick that up.
Fat Cobra is my favorite. Love Fat Cobra.
There you go.
We're now joined by Mr. Gid Freeman, Infinite Speech.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, he was wandering around outside the church here where I am, and I just, like, you know, pulled him in.
Pulled him in.
Yeah. Yeah. We were saying how that head injury of yours probably caused some damage. You just kind of like to wander off.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Jeff, you're on.
Ah, thank you. Glad to be here.
Cool. We're going over our fights of the week, and I'm going to go. And mine is most definitely from Uncanny X-Force number 14. And, I love this book so much. And it was so well drawn by Jerome Opeña. And this issue introduces a little bit of a spoiler alert, but it introduces the 616 version of Holocaust, who is from the Age of Apocalypse, who's the son of Apocalypse. And only in this universe, in the regular universe, he's called Genocide. I don't know why they made that change. But anyway, he's the son of Apocalypse. And Apocalypse is one of Apocalypse's first horsemen, which was, I think she was Famine. And so basically she's been hiding him all these years from Apocalypse and everybody. And now that Archangel is ascending as the next Apocalypse, she brings him out, and he is serving, Genocide is serving, Archangel. Well, when Wolverine and the team, come back from the Age of Apocalypse, they land there in front of everybody, and basically Wolverine just goes, and there's a little bit of dialogue, but then he goes to attack Archangel, and he, you know, stabs him in the chest or something like that, in his shoulder. And Genocide just unloads on Wolverine and it completely fries half of his body. And, I mean, dude is out. So a little toasty Wolverine there, and all exquisitely drawn by Jerome Opeña, who's just phenomenal. God, his work is so good. So anyway, so that's my fight of the week.
It's funny because for mine, my fight of the week, you flip the page, same book, and it's the next fight sequence that happens right after that. I love this book. I love these new four horsemen. I think they're just amazing. Their powers and the way they look and everything about them. But the fight that I like was Psylocke going up against, I believe it's War, the big Minotaur.
Oh, yeah.
Bullheaded looking guy. And the whole time she's going through the whole fight tactics in her head of what she's going to do. And she does this great flip over War. And War is, you know, I don't know, I'd estimate him probably about a good 16, 17 feet in the air. And all he does is he just watches her as she soars over his head. And she does this nice roll behind him and then slices both of his Achilles tendons. He just falls down like a ton of bricks, face first into the mud, and that's it for him. And then Dark Beast, really beautifully drawn panel here too. Dark Beast takes a big lunge at Psylocke. Looks like it's going to be one of those classic Wolverine ones where him and who he's fighting take a pass at each other and both of them draw blood kind of thing. But she talks it through it and says, Dark Beast pushing off with his left arm. He'll attack with the right claw. I'll shred his pectoral muscle, leaving his arm dead and his swipe ineffective. And then you see him laying there and his one arm just dangling at the side as she's gone through him. And then right after that, she takes her sword and puts it through, puts it right through Warren. So all in the course of about four pages, she dismantles, you know, half of Archangel's team. It was amazing little bloodbath. It was great.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Good stuff.
Gid, we're putting you on the spot here, even though you're outside wandering around. Do you have a fight?
Well, since you two, like, really just picked both of my favorites from the week, you know, I'm really beginning not to like Jeff, because he's not only the spoiler, he's the thief now.
Yeah. Sorry about
I mean,
that.
As far as... No, you're not. No, you're not. It's your new superpower. It's your new superpower. No, you're not. You're not. Sorry. You're the spoiler. Accept it. I guess I will have to go with Spider Island. Amazing Spider-Man, I think it's 668 now. Mm-hmm. Pete got his butt kicked by his own teammates because he jumped in the fight last issue, like, wearing his costume. So he figures, well, if I want to fight and I want to help, I need to just put on my regular street clothes. And he puts a call out to all the New Yorkers saying, like, well, everybody who's gotten spider powers that showed up are the thugs, the gangsters, and the mob, and they're ripping the city apart. And he says, I know everybody thinks New Yorkers are just rude, snobs, you know, and we're just like, you know, crap. He said, but I need you people to come out and, you know, basically help the Avengers, who are like 7 versus like 200 or 300, and show them, you know, that real New Yorkers are going to stand up, fight for this city. And there's this great panel of Pete leading the charge with all these random New Yorkers swinging in on web lines, coming to back up the Avengers. And they actually end up helping them turn the tide and put down the bad guys, along with JJ's Spider Slayers or whatnot. And it's just a great scene. Huge. There's nothing like a huge 300 man on 300 man fight in any book. I'm sorry.
That's right.
Man, awesome. I'm avoiding Spider Island like the plague. Now I'm starting to regret it. I buy all these crappy events and arcs and get sucked into them, and then it seems like I miss out on the good ones.
Exactly, because I was heavily thinking about skipping Spider Island. I was like, no, Fear Itself and Flashpoint would be much better. Yeah, egg on my face on both of those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, wow. And I picked up the issue 666 only because my LCS was on the cover. But I really, really liked the book, so I even bought a tie-in, which was the Kung Fu one.
Nice. Very cool. So those are our fights of the week. If you have any fights of the week that you want to highlight, send it to us. Email it to us. If you think our picks were stupid, email that to us too. If you want to spoil a fight of an upcoming issue that we haven't read, you can email infinitespeech@comicattack.net.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare. If I get one email, it is on, Jeff. I'm getting on a plane. It is on if I get one email spoiling anything.
All right. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, on comicattack.net, I spoiled pretty badly the fight, which was my fight of the week last week, which was from American Vampire. And Speech had not yet seen that or read that, and so I spoiled it big time. And I haven't listened to last week's Tales from the Water Cooler, but I hear that there was some major trash talking going on, so I'll have to look that up. But anyway, so be that as it may, now we're going to go into last week's fight, which was Novar the Protector versus Miss Marvel. And I'm going to go Well, actually, no. Speech, why don't you tell us what you thought about that fight? Because you had some opinions that you put on the site.
Ah, just put me on the spot, just back to back, aren't you?
Well, you know, yeah, that's what I do.
The spoiler.
Just call me Stephanie Brown.
She's cuter. Let me see. This was a pretty interesting fight for me because I like both characters. However, I was heavily leaning Novar for two reasons. I used him in a past contest, and actually he was a desperation pick. And actually, as I got to read up on him and figure out what he can and can't do, he was just that much more of a weapon, period. And he's gone through some changes, gotten some upgrades, and we all basically know what Ms. Marvel is capable of. She is seriously tough, she's hard to put down, and she's a force, and she doesn't mind unleashing if she can. I still would think Novar would have get the better of her in this fight due to the fact he has a plethora of ranged attacks and weapons that could get at her. Along with his speed, agility, and being able to fly and teleport at the same time, I don't think she'd be able to get a beat on him. She has to get up close and personal. She's still meat and potatoes. She's got the energy absorption thing, but all in all, I still do think that Novar would be able to take her out. The guy can turn off his pain sensor so he can take a beating if he has to. And his stamina limits are unknown. So the bottom line, I do feel he can outlast her in the fight. I feel he's faster than her in the fight. And the fact that he can get to a point to where if he does feel like she's just beating the mess out of him, he'll turn off the pain and just unleash on her. But the fact that these guys are also fighting above a crowded bridge or on the bridge, you've still got the innocence in the way. And I kind of think that both of these people would be a little bit more cautious. But Novar has the weapons, offensive and defensive capabilities to contain her and beat her without putting the people in too much of harm's way. Whereas, like I said, she would end up hurting half of the civilians on the bridge, if you ask me. It's just my humble opinion. So I would lean Novar.
All right. I wanted to bring up a couple things that were said in the fight on the last episode. One of the things that Andy was really pushing heavily was the fact that Novar's origins were that he was on a peacekeeping mission to Earth. And his big thing was that he was intimating that Novar was like a pacifist, which I don't know about you, but I mean, in order to be a peacekeeper, you kind of have to be a badass. And if you're actually going to try to keep peace. And so I thought that was a really weak argument from Andy. And it doesn't mean, just because he's a peacekeeper, doesn't mean he's not a good fighter. So, and every appearance since then of him does not look like he's much into peacekeeping anymore. so that was kind of a moot point anyway. The thing that really wasn't talked about a lot on the site was this fact that, but I think Dan mentioned it, was that Novar has this pocket battlefield. And to me, that's a huge game changer. I think he tosses out the pocket battlefield, you know, almost immediately, mainly just to so that innocents don't get hurt. But they're there, you know, still in the environment, so they're not. Neither of them are fleeing. But he throws out the pocket battlefield, and Carol is just disoriented because she doesn't know where she is, and. He can throw out in this pocket battlefield. He can throw out any kind of scenario. He can. So I mean, just by virtue of her not even really knowing where she is, he can get the jump on her because he is fat. He is fast. In almost every sense, Carol and Novar are both very equal in a lot of ways. I mean, I think you can debate either way. Who's faster? Who, you know, whatever. She can absorb energy, but he. He doesn't feel pain. I mean, he can move his, you know, neurons around or whatever so that he can't feel pain. but the thing that I did really like about Dan's argument was, I don't see how she could get around the the spitting thing. I mean, I don't necessarily think that he could just spit on her because her skin is super durable. But here's what I think. This is how I see it actually ended up happening, is that she's disoriented in the pocket battlefield. Novar teleports behind her, spins her around, and lays a huge fat kiss on her mouth. and that's how he gets the mind control, and there she is. She's
you perv.
I know. I had to throw that in. That was a little bit inspired by that American Vampire scene.
Hey, just keep spoiling for me.
Have
thanks.
You still not read it?
No, man.
I already
picked my book up. I already picked up my books, man. I've been flying back and forth. So, I mean, you know, thanks. Keep it going, spoiler.
I won't tell you the part where Dracula comes in and kills both of them. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so that's kind of how I would see it going down. And Speech mentioned it on the site, and I know Ian's going to talk about it here in a second. But the Golden Gate Bridge is not a good place for Carol. But I'll let it go at that. So my pick is Novar. Oh, and then sorry, and then let's look and see what the poll on comicattack.net says. As of right now, Novar the Protector is getting a little bit of a head. He's got 7 votes to Miss Marvel's 6 votes. So that's 2 votes for Protector right there. Ian, what about you, man?
Yeah, my vote's gonna make it the sweep. I'm also going with Novar the Protector. And like Jeff spoiled a few minutes earlier there, I'm gonna talk a little bit about the Golden Gate Bridge. Like Jeff said, I think this is a horrible place for Miss Marvel to be. I know it's the kind of the ancient past for her, but as far as I'm concerned, and maybe this is just showing my age, you know, the biggest storyline from Miss Marvel's backstory has to be her almost being killed at the Golden Gate Bridge by Rogue in Rogue's first appearance in Avengers Annual number 10, when Rogue stole her powers and then threw her off the Golden Gate Bridge. So all I kept seeing was, you know, both these characters have massive firepower and they're fast and, you know, they got all this stuff going for them. And I do think it's going to be a pretty big brawl. I think they're going to be, people are going to be dying and, you know, the environment's going to be completely trashed with cars flying around and stuff like that. But ultimately, the way I look at it is the whole mind control thing with Protector is going to be the undoing of Miss Marvel in this. When he was controlling all the prisoners in, I believe the prison was called the Cube. I don't think he was actually spitting on the prisoners to control them, because there was, if I remember the Thunderbolts issue right, there was hundreds of them, you know, like maybe 300-400, maybe 500 prisoners in this place, and he wasn't walking around spitting on them. I'm sure he wasn't. So I see it more of a, you know, if it's in his saliva, then it's probably coming out his pores, coming out his sweat. I see it more as he could probably just be near somebody. It's almost like a pheromone kind of approach to mind control. But what I kept seeing was him doing this to Mrs. Marvel, or to Miss Marvel, and you know, getting inside of her head and getting her to relive that whole Rogue thing. And you know, it was a really traumatic experience for Miss Marvel, and I could see her just, he wouldn't even, if he could get close enough to control her mind, I don't even think he'd have to fight her. She'd just tap out, you know, going under that stress of losing her powers and going through that again. So yeah, to cap off the sweep, I definitely say Protector takes this one.
Eli and Tom, what do you guys think? Anything to add?
No, I think you have it pretty well wrapped up. Awesome. Or pretty well explained.
All right.
Yeah, I thought Novar had just too much for Carol. Too many varied ways that he could really chip away at her.
Cool.
Well, this new Novar, the way he's being depicted in the Avengers books and stuff, he's badass. He's really interesting character too. Doesn't say much, and you know, Bendis and these guys, they've been using him kind of as the whipping boy in their scripts. Like, everyone's calling him Alien Boy, and they make fun of him nonstop. But he for me, he's been really intriguing. I really want to read more about this character, because I think he's pretty badass now.
I just picture him on the chow line at the Cube, just spitting on everybody's food. As before they feed it to him, so that just made him easier. to control. Just hocking a big fat one in everybody's tray.
He's got to make sure he's got a big glass of water there then so he doesn't...
Another one of his creep powers, unlimited mucus there.
All right, so listeners, if you agree, disagree, have something really horrible to say about our decision for this fight, and that includes Andy, if you wanna email us as well because you're disappointed with the decision, email us at jeff@comicattack.net and let us know what you think of tonight's fight and the fight results.
Yeah. We actually don't have any emails or voicemails, so I think we're gonna move on.
You don't know how disappointed that makes me.
I know.
Every time we get to this portion of the podcast, I get really sad.
Not one email, not one voicemail. It's like dry bones out there.
All right, so moving right along onto tonight's fight: Quasar versus the Red Hulk.
Let's get ready to rumble!
First, I want to say a big thanks to Decapitated Dan for giving us that little intro to the fight. Dan is always fantastic and a big supporter of the show, even though he said it was a little nerdy, or a lot nerdy, when I was on Tales for the Water Cooler a couple weeks ago. But he's a huge supporter, and so we thank you, Dan, for doing that cool music intro. So
he said the show's nerdy.
I said have you been listening to the show? And he said no, it's a little too nerdy for me.
That's not right.
I know. I said you host a horror comics podcast, but a review, but you know, I think it's really because he's a little bit out of his element. He doesn't know all of these Marvel characters ins and outs, so
all the tights scare him.
That's right. That's what scares Decapitated Dan. That's right.
And he can't pick a team of Icemen. So
that's right. That's true. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, these days you could probably get the one from Age of Apocalypse and the 616, and you'd have two Icemen there. So, but anyway, one thing that we want to start doing is giving the listeners a little bit of a background on these characters and give them a little bit of their origins. And so first I'm going to give Quasar's origin. Quasar Wendell Vaughn was when S.H.I.E.L.D. came into possession of the alien quantum bands that had been worn by the deceased superhero the Crusader, Wendell Vaughn had just graduated from S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy. Although considered highly capable by his superiors, they nonetheless deemed him unfit for field work, which is what happens with superheroes a lot. Sensing that Vaughn lacked the necessary killer instinct to win, the will to win at all costs. His first assignment was security detail for a research facility where the team of scientists were performing experiments on the quantum bands. A test pilot selected to wear the bands proved spectacularly successful at wielding them, which is a little bit of an allusion to Hal Jordan. But he perished when the energy output reached a critical mass beyond his control. Vaughn witnessed this, yet despite the inherent danger, he donned the bands when the criminal scientist's aim launched a full-scale assault on the facility. Using the band's power to generate solid energy constructs, he repulsed the attack. Afterwards, the energy buildup began to overwhelm him, so Vaughn soared off into the upper atmosphere to ensure that the imminent explosion would endanger no one else. Resigning himself to annihilation, he decided to simply relax and go with the flow. And to his surprise, the buildup abruptly dissipated. Vaughn realized the key to wielding the bands was a flexible will rather than an indomitable, uncompromising one. And ultimately, his lack of killer instinct made all the difference. Later, of course, Quasar becomes part of the Avengers. He eventually is killed, and most recently he has shown up again as part of the cosmic saga going on with the Annihilation saga and all of that. And he's now being featured in the Annihilator series after the following the Thanos imperative. So that's Quasar. Anything else you guys want to add to his origin before I talk about Red Hulk?
He likes Captain Crunch cereal.
Really?
I don't know. It just felt like adding something.
he's usually depicted with really great hair.
Yeah, very true. Flowing blonde locks.
Yeah, big golden. Well,
he's gotten rid of the mullet now, at least.
That's true. Thank goodness. Yeah. Maybe it's an energy mullet. Is that what he has? Like it's made of energy? All right. So the Red Hulk, who first appeared as General Thunderbolt Ross, a veteran of several wars, Ross was the military head of the Gamma Bomb Project, although he treated the project's research head, Banner, with contempt. When Banner is caught in a test blast of the weapon and acquired his Hulk condition, Ross personally volunteers to kill the monster and pursues him with a growing obsessiveness. As he is not initially aware of the truth of Banner's condition, Ross merely suspects that he is a compatriot of the Beast. However, when he does learn the truth, Ross hunts Banner as well. And in 2008, Ross first appeared as the Red Hulk, into which he had been transformed in order to better combat his nemesis, the Green Hulk. So that's a little bit about Thunderbolt Ross. For a while, he was a big mystery. We didn't know who Red Hulk was.
Some of us still didn't know. Thanks for spoiling that.
Nice.
You are diabolical.
I really am. God. most recently, Red Hulk has joined the Avengers, if you didn't know that speech. And he's also appearing in the Hulk series, just adjectiveless Hulk, written by Jeff Parker right now. So anything else you guys want to add about Red Hulk that I miss? I'm sure you'll have some more to say.
His mustache disappears when he becomes the Red Hulk.
That's true. That's a mystery.
Yeah.
That is the big mystery. What happens to his big mustache? So
yeah, because even when Bruce grew his full beard and everything, didn't he keep all that when he changed?
You know what? Red Gamma stuff works differently than Green Gamma stuff.
So it burns just the hair on his face, not the hair on his head or his eyebrows.
What we determined last week was that his face actually, that mustache is actually there. It's just so tiny, you can't see it.
it's like a tiny little Hitler mustache.
It is a tiny little Hitler mustache. Yeah.
That may fit Ross just fine.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, how come Bruce's pants turn purple every time? No matter what color pants he's wearing, they always turn purple when he turns into the Hulk.
He wears the purple ones underneath his regular jeans.
Are they pre-torn?
No, he wears them underneath because what he wears on top is going to get torn anyway, but the purple ones, they're stretchy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Wolverine gave him a huge supply way back in, like, I think it's Wolverine 8, the first ongoing series. He gave the Gray Hulk he replaced all of his pinstripe suits with purple pants, so he's got a big stock of them.
That's right. That's right.
That's good stuff.
That was hilarious.
I love that kind of stuff. Ian, you want to tell us about the environment?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to say this. If I'm going to say this right, the environment that was chosen for this fight and that I picked for the tournament is a place called the Lamat. It can be found in Switzerland, and the main reason why I picked it is I actually live in a town, small town called Baden, and one of the towns that's along this Lamat River is a town called Baden, and I accidentally stumbled across it a little while ago. Looked at some pictures of it, and I thought, oh, this would be a great place for one of our superhero fights. Usually what we do for the fights is to sort of keep things simple. We say that the fighters will both appear for the fight at opposite ends of the environment. They basically have to find each other or work their way towards each other. To make this one a little bit different, I put right in the environment details that they're going to be facing each other just on opposite sides of the river. The river is pretty wide itself, and it's about, it says here it's about 35 kilometers or 22 miles for my American friends in length. So it's a big river. In appearance, it looks a lot like the Thames River. Highly populated on either side, lots of churches and industry. its main use is for hydroelectric power. And it actually powers, I don't know, I think I read somewhere something like 10 major cities along there or something like that. So it's a well-traveled little piece in Switzerland. It goes right through Zurich. It actually connects to Lake Zurich. So yeah, beautiful little environment. I'm sure it's going to see a ton of damage with these two contestants fighting. And I'm sure neither of them will have any problem getting across this river with the Hulk's jumping ability and Quasar's flying ability.
Very exciting.
That's the Lamat.
Nice. So we are at the coin toss now.
We're at the coin toss. Sorry, I was flipping through pages here going back.
Okay.
So, and we have, it's Eli's pick, right?
It is. Yep.
Okay, so Eli, so in keeping in the spirit of the tournament, we're using a different coin this time. This Canadian coin that we're going to use today is the Toonie.
Toonie?
Yeah, the Toonie. Not really its official name, but it kind of quickly became its official name after it came up because, well, never mind. I won't give you the history of Canadian money. but what you do need to know is, and I know I'm totally opening myself up to big jokes here, but that's fine. I got a big target on my chest right now. On one side, on the head side, is a polar bear. And on the other side is the infamous queen.
Nice.
So, I love it.
Eli, what do you want, polar bear or queen?
Definitely polar bear.
All right, here we go.
Poor queen doesn't ever get any love.
Polar bear it is. So, Eli, you want to go first with the rationales, or do you want Tom to go first?
I'm going to defer to Tom.
All right, Tom, your lucky day.
Okay. Well, they start at opposite ends of the river, right? So that gives Quasar a chance to take to the air and get out. First of all, be out of range of Red Hulk. You obviously don't want Hulk to get his hands on him. And my research is indeterminate whether Hulk still has his energy absorption ability, but Quasar does through his quantum band. So that's one route he could take is simply staying away from him and then remotely draining him of gamma energy and eventually turning him back into Thunderbolt Ross. Another option is if Hulk jumps after him, once he's in the air, he doesn't have control of his flight. So, basically capture him in a bubble and, pull the air out so he can't, clap his hands together and basically keep him floating there. No leverage, no, nothing to contact, no air to conduct sound. So he can't create a shockwave or even touch the sides of the bubble. So that would, you know, anything like that would be two methods to incapacitate him. I'm kind of leaning toward the energy absorption thing, since Quasar has control of all forms of energy. He can basically leach out the gamma energy from Red Hulk, or he can or even alternately summon up some negative zone energy and apparently Red Hulk can't really handle that. So I'll leave that as my opening.
Very good. Eli, did that give you enough time? I know you were hoping to prepare a little bit. Was that too short for you to get ready, or?
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That's perfect?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear what you got.
So, I don't think there's going to be any trouble with these two finding each other once the fight, you know, once they begin. And, Wendell Vaughn has some real good, those quantum bands afford him some really great abilities. One thing I would bring up, though, is that the Red Hulk does, in fact, still possess his energy absorption abilities. Banner had told him that he had removed them for whatever reason, and the Red Hulk quit using them, but later Banner told him that he lied to him, and that he still had the ability all along. So, and the Red Hulk has drained... The Red Hulk has drained the gamma radiation from Banner, from the Green Hulk, turning him back into the regular Hulk. He has also drained the energy from the Silver Surfer, cosmic energy, and then gone on to take the Surfer's board, left the Surfer powerless, and gone on to confront Galactus, at which point Galactus put him in his place. But so he has the ability to absorb energy. He feeds upon it. And unlike Banner, he doesn't, you know, if he were to get knocked unconscious, let's say, he wouldn't revert back into Ross. He has to consciously will it to happen. And so so he can stay as the Red Hulk until he decides to go back to Ross. Now, the problem with Quasar is that everything he does, in fact, he himself, he's made up of quantum energy. And Tom brought up the energy absorption. Well, the Hulk absorbs energy. So let's say Red Hulk takes a leap right at Quasar, and Quasar encases him in that bubble. Well, that's not going to work because that's energy, and he can absorb it. And the Red Hulk, remember, he drained the Silver Surfer. He emptied him. And then when he confronted Galactus, he insulted Galactus. He pissed Galactus off. And Galactus took the cosmic power and gave it, you know, he put things back. But the point is, he completely drained the Silver Surfer. And so that's a lot of power. That is a lot of energy. And he could just as easily do the same thing to Quasar here. And I don't know for a fact. I don't have anything in front of me. But as I recall, Tom, you mentioned that Quasar could conjure up some negative zone energy. I thought that was what the Negabands did, the Kree Negabands, the Novar wheels. But that's, I didn't think that Quasar had access to that at all. His energies were from, I don't know, our regular universe. So, and really, you know, Red Hulk wouldn't be able in this confrontation to really physically do much to Quasar. I mean, Quasar is not the most brilliant tactician and the most skilled fighter, but he would be smart enough to stay out of reach of Red Hulk's fists or anything that Red Hulk might throw at him. But the fact remains, to get close to do anything, he's going to have to expose himself to that energy absorption. And that's exactly why I chose Red Hulk for this fight, in case you chose Quasar. Quasar's a tough nut to crack, but he's composed purely of energy, which puts him square in line for having himself be drained and completely weakened by the Red Hulk's energy absorption ability. And, well, I'll let that be that and turn it back over to you, Tom.
All right. Yeah, I was thinking about that. One thing about Quasar, it looks like he's back in the corporeal body now. He's not quantum energy, pure quantum energy anymore, at least insofar as I've been able to find out. I don't know that for sure. He was quantum energy. He was an energy being for a while, but it looks like he might be back to normal. But I'm not 100% sure of that. But as far as energy absorption goes, I've seen Incredible Hulk 601 or 600 where he absorbed the Green Hulk's energy, and it looks like he has to be in pretty close proximity to do that, to absorb that much energy. I'm not sure what distance he was from Silver Surfer when he absorbed him, or if he managed to grab hold or was right up next to him, or if he was able to do it from a distance. I think it's one of these things he has to be in close proximity for, and there's no way Quasar is going to allow Hulk to get that close to him. And insofar as absorbing energy, that's going to end up being a contest of wills. You've got the guy who's been manipulating energy for years now, and has the quantum bands, which allow total control over energy, versus the guy who's really, in comics time, really only has powers for a few months. So if both of them try to absorb each other at the same time, that's going to end up being basically a contest of wills, as to who can absorb who first. And so in that case, I would give the edge to Quasar simply from experience. Now, I'm not sure about the negative zone. I know he can create, I believe he can create space rifts and so on. So, but I'm not sure. Actually, I'm not sure if he can get into the negative zone, but I was thinking of that as a possibility, but I'm not 100% sure of whether he can just open a rift to the negative zone on zone. So I'll kind of let that one fall aside, because I'm not sure on that strategy if that would actually work. But also, Red Hulk, you're right, he absorbed the Silver Surfer, who has the power cosmic, which is a pretty serious amount of energy. The quantum bands, though, are tapped into the entire universe, the quantum zone, which is the underpinnings of the entire universe. So Red Hulk has the reason Banner was drained, it was supposedly was taking away his energy absorption abilities, was because basically he can overload on it, and that he has no capability of dealing with the heat and the energy he absorbs. So that it is possible to overload him as well. If he were to try to lock in and absorb the quantum bands themselves, he would be basically tapping into the universe itself. And if he's having trouble with lesser amounts of energy, that's going to easily overload him, and he's not going to be able to handle that. And finally, one other thing is the last appearance I have for Red Hulk was when he was up against the Thing in Avengers. I think it was Avengers 14, and he didn't even try to absorb Thing's the energy powering, you know, the hammer and so on, the energy from the hammer. So I wasn't sure if he actually had his powers back or not. So I'll send it back to you, Eli.
Okay. Well, that fight with the Thing, that was the hammer wielding worthy Thing, and yeah, that didn't turn out too good for Red Hulk, but he didn't stop the Thing. But the Thing, you know, that was that magical energy from the Serpent, you know, that God of Fear, totally different than what your guy's wielding. And yeah, Wendell Vaughn, he's got a lot of experience. But the Red Hulk is not like the Green Hulk. The Red Hulk, when he's the Red Hulk, he retains the complete intellect and mind of General Ross. So he's got his entire intelligence at his disposal. He can strategize. He can do a lot more than what the Green Hulk can, who, you know, is usually a little is dumber. Now, Vaughn's not a dummy, but he has just made some real boneheaded mistakes. For example, in the Annihilation Wave, when he went up, he was with Nova there. They went in to face Annihilus, and Annihilus killed him. It was a valiant, noble thing, but even with Nova right there next to him, Annihilus just ate his lunch, killed him, took his quantum bands from him. And he had no respect for the power that he was going up against. And more recently in the Annihilator series, the Peter Quill, Star-Lord, he put together the Annihilators. You know, he invited Gladiator and Beta Ray Bill and Quasar and Ronan the Accuser. Well, later on, after that team gets together, it comes out that Peter Quill had also invited a representative from the Space Knights. And this chick, Icon, shows up. But you don't know she's a chick to begin with. She's a space knight, like Rom was. And she's got an attitude, and she proceeds to kind of put all the Annihilators on their butt just with some simple, quick moves. And once again, Wendell Vaughn, he walks up, he completely underestimates and shows a real lack of respect and caution for his opponent there. And because she doesn't injure him, but she puts him down. And it shows his lack of caution, his lack of wariness there. And he's been, I mean, he won't show up back on Earth until this new Annihilators Earthfall series, which comes out later this month, I think. So, you know, he won't have any knowledge of this Red Hulk's ability. Because when the Red Hulk drained the Silver Surfer's power, it was in some weird alternate timeline that the Grandmaster and his brother, another elder of the universe, kind of reversed and made it so it never happened. So it didn't have any lasting effect. So it wouldn't have been part of history that Quasar would know about. So really, he would have no reason to think that he needed to keep himself away from Red Hulk because of the energy absorption, because of the fists, yes, of course. And really, even if he did keep himself away, well, he can't do anything to the Red Hulk unless he uses his energy. And then it's going to get drained dry. And so it's going to come down to, yes, Quasar has a longer period of time, more experience with the energy wielding, but he's just not that bright when it comes to tactics and engaging an enemy in a fight. He's going to make a mistake. He's going to overestimate himself and the quantum bands and underestimate his enemy. He's going to get too close and either get just knocked out with a punch to the face or just get drained. And Red Hulk doesn't have to completely drain him. He doesn't have to drain all the energy in the universe. And one thing, you know, he can't drain all that energy and then keep it. He can expend it. and he could expend it right back at Quasar. And in fact, that's what he did to Thor. In his first encounter with Thor, he beat the mess out of him. And he told him that he told Thor, basically, that I'm taking some of your energy and I'm giving it right back to you. I'm using it against you. And so he could easily do the same to Quasar. So no, he doesn't have as many years of experience at this energy thing, but he has demonstrated a ridiculous amount of skill at using his abilities, his brute strength in conjunction with his energy absorption to take down some real heavy hitters. Silver Surfer, Terax the Tamer, Herald of Galactus, Thor, the Green Hulk. And so that's how I see this fight playing out. Quasar is a little bit naive, and the Red Hulk's just going to jump on him with all the intelligence and strategizing of that General Ross has to offer.
Mm. Okay, but you're forgetting that Quasar does have... He has a method of being aware of who Red Hulk is. After all, he has... He may not have the cosmic awareness anymore. He hasn't demonstrated it lately, but he does have his... he can tap in through his quantum bands and get the information. So that's a matter of, you know, he sees this big red Hulk across the way. If he's not aware of who he is already, he'll find out fairly, you know, before actually engaging him, for one thing. And then
he's engaged others without doing that and suffered for it in the past, in the recent past.
Yeah, but he's not being managed by me.
Nice.
Oh.
Nice one, Tom. Nice one.
That's the best line so far, by far.
That's why I love these matches.
That's our soundbite there, Jeff. That's our soundbite.
Seriously.
So, and once again, Quasar has, you know, I think he has the ability of range here, for one thing. And that's something, you know, Thunderbolt Ross, yeah, he's got probably being a general, he's going to have a better tactical mind, maybe. But then again, how many years did he chase the Hulk without success? So, you know, he's probably as a general, he's got a better view of a battlefield, but he still has to find a way to get to Quasar and get close enough to absorb energy. Whereas, you know, Quasar can actually absorb energy with quantum bands in the area from a distance. So he would be able to start siphoning from Red Hulk pretty much immediately. And, you know, Red Hulk would have to get some, you know, get to a construct, get to an energy source. And if, you know, even if he did try to absorb the quantum bands, that's the thing. The bands are tapped into the quantum zone itself. So they're tapped into a limitless power source. So there's no way that Red Hulk could actually drain the quantum bands. And so that's, you know, he can pull in a bunch of energy, but basically he'd be redirecting the quantum band's own energy back at them. So they'd be able to easily reabsorb the energy or redirect it if needed. So I think Quasar does have a good play here of, you know, first of all, siphoning the gamma energy and weakening the Red Hulk himself. And he can do it from a longer range than Red Hulk can do, at least insofar as every time I've seen Red Hulk absorb energy, it's been close proximity, like right up on someone. It hasn't been one of these things where he could, you know, from a mile away, start pulling the energy away. And Quasar's general operating procedure would be a contain, drain, and attack. So, you know, if a containment didn't work, then he would immediately switch to the draining. And you know, he's not going to, you know, once again, he can smash Red Hulk with all the constructs or all the, you know, everything in the area. He could pick up, you know, uses quantum bands to throw everything in the area around. It's not going to hurt Red Hulk. I mean, he physically, it's going to have to be a play for the energy here. You know, pounding Red Hulk, it takes an awful lot to be him senseless. And I don't think anything terrestrial would really be able to do that to Red Hulk. So he would have to, you know, go for the either overloading him with energy or siphoning it off, one way or the other. It would have to take him down that way.
Well, those are good points, but I mean, Quasar. When you think of Quasar, you think of a litany of failures. He was given the ultimate nullifier to use against Thanos during the Infinity Gauntlet or the Infinity War, one of those two. and he faltered. He fumbled. He had a lack of confidence, which, by the way, he still has in this Annihilator series, which just ended. He was constantly questioning himself. Why was he invited to be on this team? Why was he here? These other guys were so much better than him. And it affected him. It affected his performance. And there's no reason to think this would be any different. And for example, he has gone up, when he went up against Annihilus, and Annihilus killed him. Annihilus told him, he said something about, I like your quantum energy. Give it to me. And Quasar fell. And Annihilus was draining his power. And he drained him to the point where Quasar couldn't even get up. And then he ended him and then took his quantum bands for himself. And so the quantum energy can be drained from Quasar enough to subdue him, to incapacitate him. And now I don't think that Annihilus completely drained it. I think he drained it enough to weaken him, and then he just killed him. I can't remember exactly. But the point is, he drained him enough to where Quasar couldn't, he couldn't fight back. And so you're right. I mean, about this coming down to the energy. And it's an interesting play because it could come down to a strength of will here. Because it has taken everything that Thor and the Green Hulk had to put Red Hulk down in the past. He's taken hits from Mjolnir, taken hits from the Green Hulk. So I think in the end, wielding energy, Quasar definitely has the advantage. But stealing energy from an opponent, I mean, the Silver Surfer probably knows more about energy and wielding than these two guys put together. And Red Hulk was able to take his lickety-split. And then he basically did the same to Terrax. So, I mean, I know it's different kinds of energy, but I think the Red Hulk has the abilities and the strength of will to do it.
All right. Very good. Jeff, this would have been an excellent episode to have those science guys on.
Yeah, it would have been. It would have been.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I hate these matches. I remember back in the day where it used to be, you know,
Thor versus Spider-Man.
Thor versus Spider-Man. And, you know, like it was a very clear cut. This is hard. This is hard. You guys both had really fantastic things to say. So I'm gonna have to do my homework. So. What do you guys think? What do you listeners out there think? Go to comicattack.net to the post on this episode. Please vote. Email us at jeff@comicattack.net or leave us a voicemail at 706-761-0115 with your questions or your comments or your opinions, and you will definitely make it on the show. I will promise you that. Well, I can't promise you that, but possibly. Speech, what did you think about that little go around there?
Gave me a lot to think about because I honestly thought there was a clear cut winner, yeah. And I really did. And then once hearing the back and forth, both of these guys know their characters, and if you're listening, you do have a pretty hard decision. I mean, I'm not the whole Silver Surfer thing. I completely forgot about, and if he hadn't have mentioned it, I probably wouldn't have even started teetering Red Hulk, but now I'm like, ah, damn. Mm-hmm. So yeah, because the Surfer packs quite a bit of power, but on the other hand, you do have Quasar, who manipulates a lot of power. He has unlimited resources, and then you get into both characters' personalities, and that does weigh into the fight. Thing is, though, neither one of these guys are surrounded by any backup or any, you know, anyone else. It's one-on-one, one man standing at the end. So I don't know. It's going to be a pretty tough decision for me, for myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn both of you.
You're very welcome, Speech.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah, I buy most things Marvel. I don't miss too many Marvel titles. And two of the things that I have avoided over the years are cosmic stories and Hulk stories. So I'm definitely going to have to do my homework here to try and learn more about this. But this has been another amazing fight. Well played, guys. Well played.
All right. Who we got next week, Ian?
So next week we'll be joined by Tom. and Dan. And Dan's the home team next week. So no rest for the wicked, Tom. You're going to be back with us next week.
And Tom has still in his stable Gladiator, Thor Girl, and Wonder Man. And Dan has Thor Man, and Scar Man, and Annihilus Man.
Hold on, this is next week's fight?
Yeah, next week's fight.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, you got some good matchups that could come out of that.
Yes. Well, no, it's the whole Thor thing. You know, it's up in the air still. We don't know what his end fate is going to be. So
I think Dan will do well to hold on to Thor as long as he can.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Were you going to say something? Speech?
Oh, no. I was trying to catch my breath.
All right. Yeah, because this battle knocked the wind out of you, didn't it?
No. I'm upset that Tom picked Wonder Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I think just for the sake of being fair, I'm going to have to stay out of that fight because I hate that character. Like, you don't understand. I think he's like overhyped. I don't know what all the Wonder Man love is about. I really don't. I don't know why people love that character, but it's like everywhere I turn around, there's Simon and the mullet and the members only jacket and the two pouches. And then is he wearing leggings and boots? I mean, it's just horrible. Yeah, I've just never liked that guy, though. But
Beast is the one who put him on the map.
I thought about using him this week, and I realized, no, if Eli picks Red Hulk, that's the end of it. I mean, it just sucked the energy out of him, that's it. It'd be over in 3 seconds. So. against Eli's team, the Wonder Man just wasn't going to hold up, so I held off on him.
Tom, I love Wonder Man.
What's that?
I love Wonder Man. Don't worry, I love Wonder Man.
Okay.
You're, I like him too. No,
I count
no.
your vote no matter what.
I love that vest when he pops the collar
and wears the turtleneck under it.
I mean, wasn't he on the West Coast Avengers?
Yeah. He was.
Yeah, okay. See,
he's an actor.
Yeah, exactly. He had to be on the West Coast Avengers.
Right.
Yeah.
He's making movies.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, saving the world gets in the way of your Hollywood career. I'm sorry. Sorry, yeah, buddy.
That's pretty bad.
I did like the Buzek Perez run on Avengers when he had the ion energy form, and he had a slightly better costume. I liked him better than him. Yeah, I always hated the tunic and all that, but
the leggings.
Yeah, and the leggings. Yes, and the, and
every the time I see Simon, there. Every time I see him, I can't help but think of Andy.
Ouch.
That's awesome.
Ouch.
That's fantastic. That's just great. Well, leave us an iTunes review, please. Rim the Dude did. I don't know if that was you, Tom, but
yeah, that was me.
It was, well, good.
I think it was. I did something on there with it.
Well, you did. You did the good thing, and you left an iTunes review, and that helps spread the word about our show a little bit more. You can follow us on Twitter at COC Comic Attack. And you can find us on Facebook at COC Podcast, and you can post there and talk to us, and you know, all that good stuff.
And it goes much deeper than that. Check out our articles, reviews, other podcasts like Tales from the Water Cooler, The Comics Dispatch, and Discussions with Decapitated Dan.
Water cooler,
water cooler.
Speaking of the water cooler, this week Decapitated Dan is away, and so the mice will play.
Yes, we will.
Definitely.
And Jeff will probably spoil something for you guys, so enjoy that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's okay. I mean, spoilers don't bother me. So, just crybabies like you. But
oh, now I'm a crybaby. Oh, now I'm a crybaby. Okay, I'll see you in the next COC match. Buddy.
My
team versus yours.
All right, there you go. The gauntlet is thrown.
Well, either guys, that or we do a sudden death match. I pick one character, you pick one. We'll let the people decide.
We might have to do that.
Yes, we might.
That would be great. That'd be great.
Well, Wonder Man's already been picked, but you guys can't pick Wonder Man.
Oh, crap.
I weep.
Well, you know who I'm going to pick. One of three characters.
Darwin, Mimic.
Barker.
Or Fin Fang Foom.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so predictable. You can't stop him. Well, you can, but.
Well, Jeff, you were probably pretty ticked off then with the X-Men First Class then.
Oh yeah, I was. I thought it was ridiculous.
We both were.
Yeah, we both were. Yeah, that's right, we were. That was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, anything else you guys got to say? I guess not. Well, thanks
Be
so
safe.
Much. Yeah, thanks for coming out and speech. It's always a pleasure. Glad you wandered in here drooling and all.
Hey, that was thanks great. For having me, guys. Just happy to be here.
Good. And Eli and Tom, thanks you guys for a fantastic battle, as always. Y'all always bring your A game, and that's we appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Great job,
thanks
Tom.
You too, Eli. Thanks.
Awesome. Ian, have fun up in Narnia, man.
I will. It's great up here. I have to go back to work on Tuesday, so I'm a little sad.
Oh.
And you have 2 months off, going back's hard.
That sucks. Well, hey, happy Labor Day to all my American friends tomorrow. I hope you all get a day off.
No.
Yeah. Well, that sucks.
Doing a double all day tomorrow. Yay.
That sucks. All right. Well, for COC, I'm Jeff, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.
See ya.